The other day, my little Ainsley, we were leaving church, and she said, Nana, we got in the car. She says, let me give you a little Jesus. And she gave me a little Jesus. I guess Dee gave these out in Sunday school, and it was so cute. Make sure I don't lose that. Put that back there in that front pocket. And I thought, that was just the sweetest thing to me, and I loved it. And I'd like to give one to you. However, I don't want us to keep him a little Jesus, all right? The kids can deal with that. And I thought, dear God, please don't let me keep you a little Jesus. I know what she meant. Just here's a little bit of Jesus right here. But anyway, I want you to go with me to the Bible today. We are going to look at some scriptures in Hebrews. But first, we're going to go to the book of John. Thank you, praise team and musicians. Thank you guys so much. We're going to go over to the book of John. Now, last week, I talked to you about a word. I gave this word to you. They saw nothing. And I gave you examples out of the word, 6 or 7 examples, how people prayed for things to come to pass. And God even told them that it would pass this way. For instance, he told Elijah that it was going to rain. And God sent, or Elijah sent a servant to go tell the king, it's going to rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And the young servant said, oh, Elijah. He says, you know that Ahab's such a mean man. That king is so mad and so angry all the time. If I go to him and tell him it's going to rain and it doesn't, he will kill me. He said, well, go anyway. So he runs down there and tells Ahab, he says, hey, Elijah said it's going to rain. He hears the abundance of rain. Well, guess what? It didn't happen like they thought. It didn't rain. It didn't rain. It didn't rain. It did not rain. And so Elijah sent the young man out there. He says, let's go back out there and look again. See if you see any clouds gathering. He went out and he came back. Elijah, there's nothing. The sun is shining. There's no clouds. Son, go back. Tomorrow, go back out there. Look again. Elijah, there's nothing. You know that story. He went on and on 7 times. Finally, on the 7th day, he ran back in. He said, Elijah, there isn't much. I don't see anything but a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's not what we're looking for, Elijah, but that's all that's out there. He said, you better take off running. You run down there and tell Ahab to get ready. It's coming. And he said, get in that chariot. And all of a sudden, the sky turned black. It was a deluge of rain that came on the earth. And the Bible says that Elijah was so empowered with the glory of God that he outran the chariot to pick up Elijah. Remember at the wedding? Jesus said, fill those water pots with water. Let me say to you today, along with somebody last week, Jesus said they were out of wine at the wedding. And Jesus says, fill those water pots with water. Well, water wasn't what they needed. They needed wine. And so as you pray about things, between your request and between the request and the answer, things don't always go as you suppose. God said, I will supply your need according to my riches and glory, and you're busted and broke and discouraged, maybe a little depressed. So they saw nothing before they saw something. So today, see, I don't want to leave you with that. They saw nothing, but they got their answer. By faith, they received. But today, I just want to tell you, Jesus is a big deal. He is our all in all. He's the whole package. He's the whole enchilada. I mean, he's all of it. So it's not just a little Jesus that I heard him speaking to me this week. He said, would you please just tell them about me? I said, Lord, I will. Sometimes we do so many how-to sermons and had to encourage and bless. And he said, but if you could get my people to seek me first, all those other things, all those other things will be added. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know you won't mind. I have no idea how long this is going to take. But I'm going to be talking about Jesus. Maybe all the way through the summer. I don't know, but I'm just going to keep talking about him. He said, you need to lift me up and put the devil down. You talk me up and talk him down. That's the deal. You know why? Because so many of God's people are listening to the wrong voice. He scares you. He causes you to walk in fear. He causes you to walk in despair and hopelessness like you're never going to get out of this mess. That's just a lie from the devil. That's all that is. The old timers would say the devil is a liar. Yes, he is. So that's why he said, no, I just want you to tell them about me. Tell them to see me and tell them to hear me. Because for some funny reason, in John, go with me to John, I think it's chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus thinks, listen, look at me, look at me. Jesus thinks we hear his voice. That's what he thinks. And I'll tell you this, he has more confidence in you and me than we have in ourselves. He has such confidence in his people. You know why? Because he lives in us. And he loves us. And he knows who he is. And he knows what he did. So he said, until we know that, we'll never hear him, we'll never see him, we'll never understand what all that he did. So Jesus is all inclusive. All right, another thing. This goes without saying, but can I remind you, we are living in 2024 A.D. Okay, it's not B.C. That's a whole nother subject. Now, I'll tell you where this message is coming from. I am reading right now. I'm a slow reader. I read one chapter a day because I study. I read one chapter a day in the morning, and I have been in the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus is wearing me out. It doesn't wear me down, but it usually just wears me out. But I've been reading it slow, methodically. I mean, I have just been given time to it, and you know why? Suddenly, this time around, I've read the Bible through many times. This time around, I am seeing Jesus all the way through that book. In every chapter, almost every line, I see him. And I can't even tell you, to read about him in those shadows and to know what you and I know today and where we are today with him and what he did. And we live on this side of the cross. They lived on that side and they were only looking forward to what was coming. Now you and I have the privilege of looking back to what he did. And we still miss it. He said, or the Bible says, John said it in chapter 10, I think. He said he came to his own, and his own knew him not. And you know what I think? Sometimes we can say that about you and me in the church. He came to his church, but his church knows him not. So he said, you all just go back to the basics and get reacquainted with me, what I did and what I'm saying to you. Is that all right? So we're going to be talking about Jesus in this house for a while. That's where we're going to go. And here's another thing. Now, I'm going to go ahead and announce this to you. I know you got your life. I have my life. We've all got our lives. We've all got our things we deal with. We've all got our families, our stuff. But I heard the Lord saying this right now is our due season. Due season. I believe it is for America. I believe it is for God's people, because we have had season after season after season. We've had drought after drought. We've had loss after loss. But he said, no, it's due season. It's time. Okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I've got so much to give you. I just, well, let me verify that. Can I look at Isaiah 49? Yeah, give me Isaiah 49. I don't know if I put that on your notes, Kathy. Probably not. Just go to Isaiah 49. I think. Jesus, help me. Yeah, look at Isaiah 49. Just put up verse 8. We're not going to read much. Thus says the Lord. Look, write this down. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I've helped you. But there's been an acceptable time. See, he will allow us to go a long time without that due time. And he'll let us go a long time without the acceptable time. But he said, I want you to know, I heard you in an acceptable time. And that also means an appointed time. It's just perfect. It's just the perfect time. So let's go back. I told you Jesus had more confidence in you than you have in yourself. Look what he said. 10 verse 27. I love how he calls us sweet names. Sometimes he calls us beloved. Sometimes he calls us my sheep, my people. It's always, he always says my. He always has a my with it. Like you ladies say, my husband, my wife, my children, like my grandchildren, you know, that kind of thing. So verse 27. He says, my sheep, they're mine. They hear my voice. See? He thinks you hear his voice. You say, then why don't I? Well, maybe you're too full of other things. Maybe you're not listening. But he said, my sheep hear my voice. My voice, I have a voice. And I talk. See, sometimes you start listening with these ears. These ears, and you try to hear with these ears and see with your eyes. I know he made our ears, he made our eyes, but we have an eye in our heart. The ear of our heart, the voice of our heart, the word of our heart. My sheep hear my voice with their heart, and I know them. Whether they know me or not, I know them. But you know him because you got saved. Because Jesus came into your heart. So, amen? You know him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they, look how sweet this is. They follow me. They come after me. They walk with me. They do the best they can. Sometimes they'll get off over here in a little trail, take a little trail out here, a little air. But he goes, they'll come back for me. I wait for them. They always come back because they know I'm here for them. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. Okay. Now, you and I know that the world offers everything under the sun. They offer all kinds of gods. Oh, a young man that used to be in our family, he was married to someone. He's off, and so one day I was trying to talk to him, and I mean, when I said trying to, he wanted to talk to me, so he made a call, and we finished. I listened, and he says, well, I don't believe like you guys do, and I said, well, that's all right. It's no problem. You don't have to believe like us, but while we're talking about believing, what do you believe in? Well, he says, you know, I kind of believe in the Native American way. And I thought, oh, okay. So you believe that God is in the rocks and the rivers and the trees. That's where he's at? Yeah, don't you? I said, he made the rock. Why would he want to live in it? He made the tree. He's not living in the tree. He lives in me. He'll even live in you if you'll ask him to come. Everything was created for him and by him. But he lives in a temple, and the temple today is you and me. Amen? So the Alpha is all kinds of false gods. But if we don't know the real thing, church, if you don't know the real thing and you don't teach your children about the real God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't teach them about him, then they may be fooled by one of these false gods when they get to school, especially when they get to university. So this is why I think he's telling me, look, you better just talk about me for a while. Leave everything else aside. We'll get to that. But you just talk about me. So who is our Jesus? All right. I'm going to take you over to, we're in John, aren't we? Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I love this. Always love this verse. These few verses. Tells you exactly what happened. We got two in the beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created. But here it talks about that beginning, but it sheds a little more light on it right here. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the people that live under the Torah and in the Hebrew, then when they say in the beginning was the Word, they see that as the mind of God. That's his mind. It's his thoughts. It's how he thinks. And then it's also the word that came out of his mouth. So that's how they see it. But you and I hear the word on this side of the cross. We hear the words of Jesus. We see this. In the beginning was a word. Well, this wasn't. Not the New Testament. Okay? So, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, not only was he God, but he was with God, another entity. No, not only was he with God, but he was God. That's a mystery. Well, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was, say it with me, life. And the life was the what? Light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we'll just stop right there. So Jesus right there is so full. He was in the beginning, and when the word came out of God's mouth, that was Jesus in him, and the word came out, and then the word was with him, and it was him. And then later on, the Bible, John says, look at verse 14. Here's what happened to the Word. Here's what happened to that Word that was with God and was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We saw him. We beheld his glory. We were eyewitnesses with him. We saw him. He is the only begotten. He is the Son of God. That's who he is. He's all in all. And then again, going back up, it says he was life. Jesus is life. And the life was the light of man. So that's how you and I function as Christians, where other people can't go through certain things. And they've got to have a bottle, they've got to have a drug, they've got to have a person, they've got to have this, or they've got to have that, they've got to have something. This is how you and I get through. Because the life of God is in us, and the light of Jesus Christ is in us. So he was full of light, he was full of light. And he said, if you're not in me, you don't have life. Amen? So let's move on. So look at this. In Matthew chapter 1, well, don't go over there. We know the story there. In Matthew chapter 1, down about verse 18, it says, it was setting up the beginning of Jesus' life. And it said, he was born of a virgin. Remember that? The angel came to Mary. And then the angel came to Joseph. And he said, that is in your wife was put there by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant. It was not the seed of a man. It was the seed of God himself. She was a virgin. She had never been with a man. And how would you have liked to have been Mary or Joseph in that day? Okay, just totally ruined a reputation. You know, how does that happen? God's going to bless you with something great, and all of a sudden, it just doesn't pan out. What? God, I'd just rather not do this than, you know, these people scorned me like that. Sure, Joseph says, sure. Well, we'll leave that alone, but I'm just saying. He had a supernatural birth by a virgin, by God. Okay, but isn't it amazing, church, that Jesus also, oh, we could go on down and read about it, but if I get to reading all this today, we'll never get finished. I'll finish next week. But he says, we are born again. We were not, listen, when we were born again, we were not born of the flesh. We were not born of a man or a woman, but we are born of the Spirit. So here, this thing is very supernatural for us too. Now here we are, born again. We didn't even have to go back into the womb. But we were totally changed when he came and flooded us. And if you say, I'm not, you can be today by the power of this one. It's all in all. He's everything. Okay? So let me just run through some of these things. I just went through the headings in my Bible early this morning. And I looked at some of these things that I read in Leviticus because I would read that and I would say, oh God, poor Moses. Poor Moses, you gave him all these instructions and he had to do them right down the line. And you told him how to build the temple and it had to be this color and this color of thread and it had to be gold and then the altar had to be bronze and all of these things. If these people sinned, they had to have all these offerings. Then he passes it over to his brother, the high priest, Aaron. Aaron, this is how this is going to happen. And so God gave instructions to Moses. Moses passed the instructions to the people. So they could either be cleansed of their sins once a year, or they could be stoned to death. Take your pick. Okay, so let me give you some of those things. And here were the procedures and the instructions that had to follow those offerings. There was the forgiveness of sin offering. Okay, so Moses had to remember all these. And I'm just giving you a few, okay? He had the forgiveness of sin offerings. There was a guilt offering. Just in case you feel guilty, I'll sacrifice for that. There was a peace offering in case you didn't have any peace. And there was an ordination offering. There was a cleansing offering. There was a purification offering. There was a cleansing for skin disease offering. There was a contaminated clothing offering for cleansing. There was a contaminated house offering. Many of you remember that one. And the only way they could be cleansed was by the blood of bulls and goats and calves and rams. The only way they could be cleansed, and I'm not going into all that, but they'd cut the animal, take it into the temple, splash the blood, and put the blood on the four horns of the altar. I mean, it was a big, big deal. And then there was the redemption gifts offered to the Lord. And then there was the punishment for disobedience, and they would be put to death, mainly by stoning. And then there was all the special days they had to keep. They had to keep the Sabbath days and the harvest and the feast. And don't forget the year of Jubilee, the seven of sevens. And then there was the rituals for the temple and the high priest. And then they had to make this bread, and it had to be made by pure flour and pure virgin oil. And I mean, everything was designed just the way God wanted it. And it had to be a supernatural thing that Moses could carry all that out. I mean, it was just absolutely crazy. I looked at that. I mean, God, why were you like that? He's just so detailed. And the holy bread. And then he said, offer it up to me. And then he said the smell of these dead animals, you know, take their, listen to this. He would say, take their gallbladder out and wash it and clean it, put it over there and wash their lung lobe and put the lung lobes over here and wash them and then put the kidneys over here with them. And then take all the fat and get the fat and put it on the altar and burn it and sacrifice it. That's to be a sweet-smelling savor. And take the hides and put them over there. They'll be used for whatever he said they were going to be used for. I mean, it all had to be done just like that. It was just a bloody, bloody mess. And so then, on the other hand, long story short, listen, when you read the Old Testament, you are so happy to get into the New Testament. You could almost just jump up and do a dance, especially getting out of the book of Leviticus. And yet you see Jesus, who sacrificed himself once and for all, for everybody. And he took care of all those rituals. There's still people today, and I have nothing against if you're Jewish here today or you go to the feast, and, oh, I just think it's so cool, we're just going to keep the feast, and we're going to set a table, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to, I don't care if you do that, but I'm just saying you don't have to, because Jesus said God is not impressed with those Sabbaths. He's not impressed with those special days and those special feasts, and those, you know, and now God's people are getting so caught up in that because of the Jewish people. We love the Jewish people, but they're still stuck way back there in the Torah, way back in the Old Testament. And you want to tell Christians, would you get up here into the New Testament? We are living in 2024 AD. We are in AD. We've been here for over 2,000 years. I hope that didn't offend anybody. It's all quiet in here, but I'll tell you this. Oh, let's go look at that. Let me prove it. Oh, I'll always prove it by the word. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. I'll just keep you another minute or two. Or three. Hebrews 8. Look at look at this. Here's how he did it, you guys. Here's how he did it. See, those poor people could not keep those laws. They just couldn't. This is why they said, I want to be a part of getting my sins forgiven. And every year they'd show up to the temple for the Day of Atonement to get their sins forgiven. Oh, I know we talk a lot about the Day of Atonement, and there's people that just wait for the Day of Atonement, and we're just going to hallow that day. Well, we live in the Day of Atonement, amen? All right, let me show you. Verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10. Oh, well, let me show them verse 7, Kathy. Let me show you verse 7. For if the first covenant, Old Testament covenant, with bulls and goat blood and all that, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Okay, so let's just go on down to verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after, somebody say after, those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, laws in their mind, and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ooh, isn't that beautiful? I'll put my law in their mind and in their heart. I'll write it on their hearts. I won't write it on tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. You say, don't you believe in the Ten Commandments? Yes, I do. And all of those are recorded. Listen. Every one of those Ten Commandments are recorded again in the New Testament, except keep the Sabbath day holy. And that's the only one that's not. Because when Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. And so ever since the cross, ever since his resurrection, the church, the body of Christ, has celebrated the first day of the week and came together to worship on that day. So with that said, I'll say those Ten Commandments, yes, we do keep those, but they're all recorded again. However, Mr. Finnis Dake, who was a scholar For many, many years, 55 years, he commentaried the Dake Bible. And he says this, that there are over 120 other commands in the New Testament. So we think, boy, that was bad. Well, we're under grace, and we don't want to abuse grace. And the Bible does say that you can abuse grace. He says, don't do that, because it's so honorable to get to have it. Okay, so he said, I didn't put those laws there. I put the law in your heart. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, this is the way, walking in it. Or no, that's not the way. Come on, you know better than that. Don't do that. If you will listen and pay attention, the Holy Spirit will lead us. Amen? So let me move on. And they will be my God, or I will be their God. And you'll be my, see that word my? You'll be my people. Look at verse 12. For I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I won't remember them, that you used to get killed and murdered for that kind of thing. I won't remember it anymore. In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The old one was obsolete. Well, we sure don't want grace to pass away, but one day it's going to. And that's when we're caught up together with the Lord in the air. Amen. So I'm telling you, we could just go on in this. Look down at verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11. I know I'm throwing you some curves here, Kathy, but look at 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, for the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He said, no, I'm coming to live in a tabernacle that's not made with hands. That means it's not a building like Moses' tabernacle. It's not like Solomon's temple. He said, it's my people. It's not of this world. It was not made with hands. Verse 12. And look at this. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once. For all, say once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So he said, no, this is an eternal redemption. I have set you free. I will remember your sins no more. Somebody say, that's good, that's good, that's good. He said, no, you're set free. I put the blood over you. Quit thinking about it. Look at 10 and 11, chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They're still doing it. But this man, capital M, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. This man. One sacrifice, that was his own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. Verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being, now that says being sanctified. But the old King James and the original says who have been sanctified, not being. I know that's a fairly new word when all these new translations came along. But it's still in the original, in the Aramaic, still means they've been sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us that after he said, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with him after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws, where am I reading? Am I reading in the wrong place? I'll put my laws in their heart. Okay. He's just repeating. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Now there is remission of these. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. He can't do anything else for you. Okay, if you messed up, it's him. Listen, Jesus did not come to condemn the sinner. He didn't come to condemn anyone. He came to love. He came to release us from sins. He didn't do any of that. He came to love us. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery? She came down there to Jesus, and they were accusing, oh, Jesus, we caught her. She was in the very act of adultery. And all those religious men wanted to hang her up. And Jesus said, he wrote down on the ground, he who is without sin, you go ahead and start stoning her. You just go ahead. I know who you are. And guess what happened? She looked up, and all of her accusers were gone. And Jesus said, woman, neither do I condemn you. Now you go on and sin no more. So now don't go back to the mess. But he says, no, you go on. So Jesus came to love us, to stand up for us. And it says, he who sanctifies and he who is sanctified. You're just one person. You're one with me. Sweet Jesus. All right, let me tell you something else and I'll close. Okay, you know the Old Testament people walking through the wilderness, people of Israel, they had bread fall every day from heaven. They got probably tired of that bread over 40 years. But Jesus said in New Testament, 24 AD, when he was born right after that, everything changed. And when he grew up, he said, I am the bread of life. Your people ate manna in the desert and they're dead. But I am your bread. So eat me every day. Eat from me. I am the bread of life, and I will give you that life and that strength. Now, he also says, I'm your water. Remember when Moses and them were in the wilderness, and they didn't have any water to feed the flocks and for the people to drink? And the Bible says Moses hit the rock with his rod, and when he did, water just came out of the rock. And it went everywhere, and it fed them for the rest of the time. Jesus says, I am the water. If you're thirsty, you just come to me and drink. So everything changes now. He's the water. He's the bread. We don't have to make that fancy bread now every time we have communion. We don't have to mix that up with unleavened bread and the oil and pure virgin oil and fine flour and all that. He says, I am the bread. This is my blood. It's not the blood of a bull or a goat. So you go ahead and have communion with me. Just use something. And the oil that went in the lamps in the tabernacle, he says, my Holy Spirit is the oil. I mean, church, he becomes everything. The healer? Oh, yeah, he's the healer. Elijah raised that lady's boy from the dead. They did some great miracles. They saw rain. But Jesus said, I'm still doing it. Listen. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm always the same. I haven't changed. I wrote all this in your heart. And church, he said, you're just living so far, acting like you live in Leviticus. You don't. You live in the book of Acts. We live in New Testament days. He said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. You need a life, we'll get a life with him. Amen. Woo. And by the way, they were keeping the Sabbath day holy, and a lot of people today, oh, we're living in Jubilee. Oh, it's been 49 years, we're in the 50th year, and we're in Jubilee. Sweetheart, with Jesus, it's Jubilee every day. It's always Jubilee. He said, by the way, I am the Sabbath. I am the Sabbath. And I'm with you all the time. I'm a Sabbath. I didn't come to throw the law out. I came to fulfill the law. So he fulfills the law. I mean, he's just everything. He's just everything, church. Hallelujah. And to think that he is in your heart. And in my heart, would you stand on your feet with me? And he says, nothing shall be impossible with me. With Jesus, with God, nothing is impossible. Woo! Shalomahai. Jesus, I have talked about you. Woo! You're all inclusive. Everything. You are the law. You are the Sabbath. You are the bread. You are the water. You are the healer. You're the same. And you said, these works shall you do. Just what you did. You healed the sick. You raised the dead. You brought plenty. You got money out of a fish's mouth. You did things that were just unseemingly impossible. But you did it. And you said, these things shall you do. And then you said, greater things than these shall you do. Well, greater things. Let's just do what he did first. Hallelujah. How many will believe with me today? Landmark is stronger, more powerful. And when we finish this summer, I believe we're going to be a church walking in Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, full of his power. Not just a little Jesus, but a great, magnificent Jesus in AD. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Lord. Right there where you stand today, I want to ask you, would you receive him as Lord? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as the light of your life, and you need life, you say, I don't have life. I don't have a life. I'm living in darkness. Well, he said, you can have light, because he said, I'm going to tell you right now, the world does not comprehend it. But if you will open your spiritual heart to me, you'll open your mind and your heart, I will come in with you, and I will bring light where there is darkness. Is there anyone in this room right now that says, Pastor, I feel like there's a lot of darkness in my life, and I need light? Would you just bow your heads for a minute? I don't know why, but sometimes it just... Anyone? I'm in darkness. I need a little more light. Uh-huh. I see some hands praising the Lord. Sometimes we're praising, but we'll just jump in the middle of it. But I want to go farther and say this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Always, always the same. Eternally the same. From the dateless past to the dateless, there is no end. From the dateless future. If you need healing in your body, just put your hand there on your own body. I know he said we should lay hands on the, we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And if we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. He didn't say that in the Old Testament. He says it now. And you'll make disciples. You will do that. And my word is in your heart. So if you're sick right now, would you receive the blood of Jesus over your body? And then make sure you tell somebody, I was healed this morning. Jesus, what is it? Look at your sweet people. Just lift your hands up if you need healing. I feel him saying, I'll do it myself. I'll just do it myself. Let me in. Let me in. Let me come in. Let me heal you. Let me make a way where there seems to be no way. By your blood and by your stripes, we're on this side of the cross looking back. By your stripes, we are healed. You yourself took those 39 stripes that we could be healed. Lift your hands and receive it now. Come on. Shulamai. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Lift your hands and praise him for the healing. Praise him for direction. Praise him for the water. He said, if you thirst, just come to me and drink. I'll fill you up. Oh, he said, you don't need to do those offerings for peace anymore, because I am your peace. You don't need to do those guilt offerings, because I will relieve your guilt. You don't need to relieve you don't need a shame offering. When I came, I took away your shame and your guilt. And if anyone else brings it up, You just say, I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm free. That's behind me. That's not where I am now. It's AD, you know. I'm living up here in the New Testament days. I'm free. Hallelujah. Today, tomorrow, and I'll always be good in Jesus. Shulamaha. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank him for your healing. Thank him. Thank him that your sin, your shame, your guilt is gone now. Your guilt, your worry, your stress. Right now, you don't need anyone to lay hands on you. You got the word of the Lord. You have the word of the Lord. He said, I'm the way. If you need to know the way, he says, I'm it. Come close to me. Get in the closet with me. I'll show you the way. I'm the truth. You believe in a lie? No, you can't believe a lie. Get the truth. Well, I don't know the truth. Well, get close to him. He says, I am the truth. I am the light. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Are you praising him? Hallelujah. Is he good, church? Lord, show us how much you love us. We don't even know. But God, your name is love, and your name is jealous. And you were jealous of us. And James, the brother of Jesus, said that the Holy Spirit lusts to envy for us because he sees us going elsewhere for answers and elsewhere to see what others think we should do. But he said, come to me. Hallelujah. Church, let me leave you with this and I'll let you go. Before you do anything, okay, before you go meet with someone, would you all get in the habit of this too? Just maybe you're already in the habit of this, but before your boss talks to you, before you're going to go talk to somebody about something special or you go out of your house, that there's not one time, and sometimes I get out of time, and I've already prayed early in the morning, but there's a person coming in to see me, and I know there's something going on with them, and they're in a lot of things that maybe I'm not even qualified to deal with, except for the Spirit of God. And Rick will tap and say, so-and-so's here. Maybe some of the, not even in the church. And man, I'll run back there to my seat real quick. I'll say, Rick, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And I'll go back to my little steps there, or there's a chair and sit on the steps. Say, oh God. Look, it's all you got to do. It's so easy. Oh God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I say? Now you lead me, because I don't know where they're going to go. But Lord, you lead me. And if you'll help me, I will praise you so good. But I'm just here to help them. That's all. I'm just trying to help them. But if you help me, then I can help them. Don't let me lead them astray. Don't let me give them a bad word. It doesn't matter what I think. My opinion does not matter to a hill of beans. But what do you say? Just bring a scripture to me, Lord. Just bring something. And then, oh, Lord, I sure love you and I appreciate you. And I go on out and I feel so good. And we just have the best visit. And we pray, sometimes lead them to the Lord. So I'm just saying, whatever you're facing, make sure you have that 5 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes. Maybe it's all you got. But just go in there with him alone. Amen? Okay. God bless you guys. I love you so much. And I appreciate you for being here today. I want to ask you here, does anyone receive the healing in your body? I'm not talking about by faith, but you felt it. You knew that you were healed. You know that? What is it, Tori? Amen. Praise God. You needed that too. Amen. Miss Patty? Huh? Strength, new strength? Amen. Hallelujah. May it cook like a microwave and just stay on you all week. Amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. Turn his countenance toward you and give you peace. Keep you from all harm and danger. been a blessing to you on the road and protected you from all texting drivers, drunken drivers, and sick drivers, and keep you blessed and holy and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. You can be dismissed.